sociably. Now it's getting late and there's still no sign of her. Have another glass of wine, all I know is the wine lasts longer when you don't gotta share it with someone. All I know is the steak tastes better when I take my steak taste better pill. And I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to the One Monkey Media Podcast. I am Chris Parker, and with me, as always, the monkey tamer, Allie. Say hi, Allie.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
All right, Allie. So how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Okay, you know what? I can't do this. It's a lame joke, and I just can't do it. Allie is on special assignment this week, and so you're stuck with just me, Chris Parker, the monkey of One Monkey Media, and hopefully Allie will be able to join us next week once her assignment is done. This week, we're going to deal with two issues. The first is going to be figuring out my special project that I've been working on, the super secret project, and the other one will be trying to find out where in the world is Allie. A little fun segment about trying to find where she is located, what her special assignment is this week. So let's not waste any time, get straight to the point, and that is my super secret project. Lately, I've been talking a lot about bad television, about the problems with police procedurals for the most part. I've talked about the lack of creativity. I've talked about how silly some of this stuff is. And I decided to go out there and actually study some of it to find out how far off of reality some of these shows are. Now, we all know that, hey, these are just television shows. They're nothing special. They're for entertainment purposes only. They should probably have a disclaimer about that too. You know, this is not real. What you are about to watch is completely fake. Sort of the opposite of that old Dragnet thing that used to happen. Only the names of the innocent have been changed, culled from the blah blah blah, transcribed straight from. In this case of, you know, CSI, Bones, NCIS, all of that crap, it should probably say this is not reality. Any resemblance to reality is purely coincidental. And I'll tell you how I know this at this point. I have done a research project over the last week. I've watched a ton of this crap. And not only did I watch this stuff, I, like the geeky, nerdy, losery guy I am, I took notes. I kept very important statistical data from these shows. And I've compiled that data in order to figure out what these shows are telling us about society. And the data that I kept was specifically about the age of victims, the attractiveness level of said victims, and then the specifically their race, their sex. Then I took a look at the perpetrators of the crime, same statistical information, age, attractiveness, sex, race, as well as relationship to the dead and how the people died. So I've got all that information tabulated because I wanted to look at what kind of view of society we're getting from certain aspects of television. We talked last week about the view that we get on sitcoms of these slovenly, slobby guys who end up with the sweet, fantastic, beautiful woman. And, sometimes that hurts my feelings. because I feel I kind of identify with some of these guys a little bit, that I can be a real guy-y guy, and when I see them with these beautiful women, I get jealous. I can't help it. And so these sitcoms tend to drive me up the wall, and I wanted to see what kind of example of America that we're getting from television as far as these police procedurals go. Here's what I have been able to determine. Black people rejoice. We have solved the black-on-black crime problem. We've also, white people, you no longer have to be afraid of black people. They are not your enemy. They are, in fact, not responsible for any of your problems. But also black people, don't worry about black people, because there is no black-on-black crime to speak of at all. Okay, one kidnapping, but he was in love with her and turned and let her go out of love. So you don't have to worry about that. No black on black crime at all. And if you're Asian in America, if you're Asian American, there is no crime whatsoever. In fact, the only thing I've been able to learn about Asians is that they're cute and they're looking for love. Real love, not sexy, lusty stuff. They want the real thing, and they just want a nice guy. That's what I've learned about Asian Americans, is that they don't, actually, they pretty much don't exist. So that's good information for those of you who are xenophobic against people who are Asian. There are none. So you don't have to worry about them anymore. Also, I've learned that fat people are crazy and incompetent, and that cops like to kill people a lot. So let's get to the actual statistics here that I have compiled. The first set of statistics here is about attractiveness. Now, what I've determined is that if you are a 20-something attractive person, especially of the male persuasion, chances are you're going to end up dead. Because those are the highest demographics from the show. From these shows, 49% of the victims were 20-year-olds, and 62% were what I would deem attractive. Now, some of that was a little bit difficult for me to determine on the male side of things. One of the things that I determined was how many abs could you count? And also, how blonde-haired they were and blue-eyed the guys were, and also the attractiveness of the female that they attracted. So that was sort of my definition there. And here's the shocking thing: 92%, 92% were Caucasian. Okay, so 92% of the people killed on these shows are white. Far and above the national averages, and I mean, even far and above the national averages to how many white people are in America. So definitely white people are getting killed more often than not, and 75% of them were male, 24.5% female. So apparently, if you're a female in the United States, you have nothing to worry about, especially if you're an African American woman. No worries whatsoever. Only 3.7% of the people killed in America are African American. 3.7 also Hispanic. So really great stuff out of those communities. Nothing to worry about there. Teenagers, 3.7% are being killed, and that's not good. We don't want to see them, we don't want to see them get hurt. They've got a long life ahead of them, and especially if they can make it to their 50s, where less than 1% of the people killed on television are above the age of 50. So there you have that if you can make it to age 50, violent crime is not something you have to worry about whatsoever. This is a great news for America. Now, let's get on to sort of some of the information about the perpetrators, the people who are committing these crimes. Now, what I've been able to determine is that there are more ugly people committing crime than having crime committed against them. More than twice as much, actually, or well, about twice as much. As far as ugly people being killed, only 7.5% of those being killed are what I would consider ugly, and some of that may have had to do with their attractiveness level, but also of the fact that they were creepy pedophiles or whatever. So that's also sort of something to keep in mind. And it turns out that 30-year-olds are killing 20-year-olds in record numbers. Apparently, if you get in, as soon as you get into your 30s, you start killing the younger, prettier people off. Not only are the is the attractiveness level of the killers down, which is to say almost a 10% drop in those I would rate attractive. Also, that is a huge bump in both the average looking and the ugly people. So, really average looking people in their 30s are killing attractive people in their 20s in record numbers. Also, it's a white thing. And more females are doing the killing than being killed. It seems like older women are getting pissed off at their younger men and killing them in record numbers. And here's where the statistics for race kind of get a little blown out of proportion again. But according to the statistics that I've been able to reach, while 92% of the people killed are white, only 75% of the people doing the killing are white. Huge jumps, of course, in Hispanic and other demographics. Looking at the African American demographic, though, you're still only talking about 5% of the killers being African American. So while that's almost in line with their 3.7% of the people being killed. So really, statistically, within the margin of error there, they're being represented really well on television as far as that goes. It's actually the Hispanic community that's doing a lot more killing than being killed. Apparently, Hispanics don't like pretty white women and need them to die. Also, one of the statistics that's throwing some of these numbers off are the fact that I didn't do racial statistics for cops killing, shooting other people. I didn't use racial statistics for them because sometimes it was difficult to determine who actually was the killer in those instances. Because when you have, 10 cops shooting at one white guy, which was mostly the case. You would it was hard for me to determine who actually did the killing there, so those cops got sort of a free pass there. So a lot of these statistics, you'll see that 7.5% of the killers in America are police officers, and that's a relatively high statistic when you stop and think about it. It's one of the reasons too, the gunshots. Gunshot wounds, GSWs to the chest and head are the prime killer. 45% of people killed in the United States of America on cop procedurals are being killed through gunshots. The next highest is, of course, stabbing at 13%. Then you got your good old fashioned blunt force trauma. See the and that's one of the things that is really different about reality and this television situation. Blunt force trauma is usually what occurs in those heat of the moment passion situations, right? You throw somebody against the table and their head hits the edge, boom, blunt force trauma, they're dead. And now you've got to phone a friend to hide the body. Not that that's ever happened to me. So that's one of the things. Apparently, electricity, big time problem. A lot of killers are using that nowadays. They're creating their own electric chairs. They're setting up various electrical situations. Also, explosions are a bit of a problem in America today. 3.7% of the people killed are being killed through explosions. Not something you want to find yourself in the situation of. I couldn't decide whether that was massive blunt force trauma or, really how to explain that away. So I actually kept explosions as their own statistic there. And so many people being blown up, you need to be afraid of that, white people. You need to check the. If you're a pretty person in your 20s, you need to be looking under your car every day for a bomb, okay? I don't care if it was clean yesterday, that's fine. You need to check again. You also need to make sure that there are no trip wires in your yard, and you need to open your front door very carefully because you never know when somebody has set up some kind of electronic trigger to blow your house up. Now, if you're ugly and in your 30s or older, like me, you probably don't have to worry about anything. In fact, I'm reasonably confident that as long as I don't go and kill somebody, I'm going to be just fine. Being unattractive and in my 30s means that I am solid for not getting killed. Now, being white, it kind of hurts a little bit. I'm a little afraid. And I'm a little afraid of every white person I see now because, frankly, white people kill. They kill a lot. And I need to be afraid of this situation. Whenever I see a female coming towards me, a white woman walking down the street, especially if she's in some kind of business attire, I freak out because I got to tell you, strangers are the people who are doing the killing. Okay? It's strange white men and women who are doing all of the killing in America today. And they're doing it with guns, they're doing it with explosions, and they're doing it with big fucking knives. Okay? They're coming at you with these big knives. And so if you escape the explosion and they're unable to shoot you, they run out of ammunition, they're coming after you with a big knife. And it's white men in business attire, and it's strangers, and it's white women in business attire. These are the people that you need to start freaking out about when you see them. You might want to cross the street. Okay, now that's not going to save you if they've thought ahead and set up a bomb, and it might not save you unless you can put something seriously metal between you and them, if they've got a gun. But if you cross the street, you're probably not going to get poisoned. Okay, 3.7% of these people are killing you through poison. 7.5% drowning. Okay, so as long as you stay away from water and white women and white men, you're probably good. Also, strangulation, same thing. 7.5% strangulation, suffocation, that kind of thing. You want to avoid that at all costs. Okay. And as I say, cross the street when you see a Caucasian male or female, okay, keeping in mind that females are killing a lot more often than there are being killed, okay? And so you need to keep that in mind so that you're not caught unaware of the situation, okay? So once again, we're going to lay it out here. The big thing to be worried about in America, I mean, besides your coworkers, okay, your coworkers, 13.2% of the time, your coworkers are killing you. That's only slightly less than family members doing the killing, okay, and friends. So if you combine coworkers and friends, just people you sort of know, co-workers, you're actually much more likely to die. Of course, strangers, 60%, over 60%, it's strangers. So, again, strange white men and white women are to be avoided at all costs. They are the ones that are to be feared in this world. Some of the other things that I've learned that aren't statistics related to death that I've specifically learned about, I wanted to talk about other rules of African Americans because, as we can see from the statistics, the fact is they're just not killing or being killed at all. Okay? Less than 5% being killed, less than 5% doing the killing. That tells me that they're doing other things in this world, and I've figured out what they are doing. And here's the thing. They are eating too much because actually the only overweight people on these shows who are not criminals are actually African American. So apparently they're overeating. This is a bit of a problem. Also, they are by far and away the most highly educated people on these shows, and they are being they're subordinate to white people who are less educated than them. Let's take a look at CSI Las Vegas, CSI Regular for a second here. Okay, the African American on that show has is a doctor, has multiple degrees, and is the rookie. He's also overweight. He's also totally cool. I don't care what you say. Fishburne is the man, and but I think he pulls off the overweight really well. He just looks like a studly dude. Okay, maybe this is why people think I'm gay. I don't know. The point is, he is subordinate to an ex-stripper who went to community college and got a science degree from community college. So that's who he's subordinate to as far as this guy with multiple degrees and huge education and all of that. Same thing is actually happening over on CSI New York, except in this case, you have a situation where the African American is fit and trim, and he also has the multiple degrees thing, and he is subordinate not to an ex-stripper, but to an ex-Marine whose only formal training, as far as education goes, came from officer training to be a Marine, and then being a beat cop in Chicago, I believe, and New York, or is it just New York? I don't remember. So that's who he's subordinate to in this case, is a undereducated Gary Sinise. Now let's. We need to talk about CSI Miami because, again, we have an overweight African American, except this guy is the comic relief Fat Albert of the show. So he's actually the least educated of the group, and he is there almost solely for comic relief. He's almost like the idiot cousin, although, again, idiot cousin in this case is still smarter than me. The character he's playing is that of the sort of go-to joke guy who sort of barely gets the science. And he's subordinate to a crazy motherfucker. Okay, I don't use that term often, and I know it's a very technical term in the treatment of psychoses. And it's designed to be used when an individual threatens every single person he comes across with physical violence. Okay? I watched, I think, maybe six or seven CSI Miamis, and what I noticed was he actually threatened, I would say about 90%. I didn't keep track of the statistic, but I'm telling you, more than 75% of the suspects, not just the people who eventually ended up being charged with the crime or whatever, but anybody that he came across who he thought may have done something, he threatened to shoot or kill in some fashion. He threatened to torture people. And this is the awesome, amazing cop guy. Okay, he's threatening, you better hope that she doesn't die, or I'm gonna kill you.
At one point, I think he threatens to chop a guy into little bits. This is not good police work. I'm telling you right now, not good police work. And judging by the number of people he's actually killed, I'm pretty sure he is not passing the psych evaluation. Okay? And his subordinates seem to be unaware of how crazy he is. So he's got a guy in custody on the floor, okay? And he says to the guy, "Now you're gonna find out what it's gonna be like in prison." And then throws him through a window. He actually picks him up off the ground, a guy who's not resisting anymore, picks him up, throws him through a window. And everybody's like, "Yeah, right on, H, you the man." No, okay, a little bit of police brutality, a little bit, okay. He's actually making cops look horribly bad, okay. As much as he loves all of the victims and wants to do right by all of the victims, all we see is this guy, threatening physical harm to anyone he sees, shooting at tons of people and hitting them, beating on them, and all of this stuff. You've got an unarmed suspect fleeing. He stands in front of the unarmed suspect with his gun in the guy's face and he says, "Go ahead and try it, and I'll shoot you." No, you won't shoot him because I guarantee you the clean shoot team, not gonna pass you on that one, okay? Just not gonna happen. If you shot that unarmed man just for running, you're not going to have a badge any longer. It's just not going to happen. There is actually no token overweight person on CSI New York, so I was unable to generate any information there. As far as non-working people goes and overweight, I only saw three in all of the shows that I watched. I only saw three overweight people, and those were an incompetent paramedic woman who didn't know how to do her job, and she got yelled at a lot. And then I saw a another fat guy who was just batshit insane, and so he will, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't a killer. He wasn't any. He was just crazy. He was just like a random cutaway to a crazy fat guy. And then also saw another fat guy who pulled a guy out of car, just started beating him for cutting him off in traffic. So there's that. Again, crazy road rage, violent, incompetent fat people on television nowadays. That's how we are depicted, and it's a little sad and a little frustrating to me, and it really puts into focus what we were discussing on the Creativity Rebecca Black episode of the podcast from last week, and that is that there are things that happen on network television, and then there are the things that are happening on HBO and Showtime. And the two are not even related in any fashion whatsoever. I point out one of the latest the latest police procedural that I watched all of recently was The Wire, and that's essentially a cop procedural. And what I got from that show was something completely different. It had a much more organic feel to it. It had a much more realistic feel to it, where the cops weren't identifying with the victim all the time and weren't out for this high, "We need to save these people because we speak for the dead," and all of that, right? What you saw were people who loved the chase, people who loved the game. That's why cops were doing it.
and they were acerbic, and they would make nasty jokes, not bad puns, but ridiculously morbid jokes at the scenes of crime, and just this gritty, realistic feel to the whole thing. Also, you didn't have a whole lot of I mean, there was a lot of people who looked average, were overweight, just real looking people. The whole thing just looked real. And it felt real to be watching almost like a documentary of what was going on rather than a high-minded, stylistic approach that is so far off of reality that it kind of it makes you feel sort of empty inside and a little disgusted at the situation. Going back to those statistics, 92% of the people killed white. Not even close to the statistic that's going on in America today is that. And I feel like it's almost manufactured the same way the news is with that whole stranger danger crap. Like it's almost like it's manufactured to make you feel scared and that whole Rage Against the Machine, they pack the nine and they fire into primetime deal that is it's like a it's like Pavlov, but it's also like a Valium or a I don't know, like some kind of anti-anxiety medication, but except it creates an anxiety in you. It creates a fear that has you locked up and wants you to stay inside. I don't know. I know this isn't as funny as I normally am. Part of the problem is Allie. I'm going to blame her. The other part is that I just couldn't sit there and watch these shows without, a little bit of bile coming up into my throat. All of a sudden, I'm actually looking at them critically, and when you look at them critically, they don't hold up for even half a second. The reality of the situation breaks through so much that you aren't able to suspend your disbelief. And that's the big thing in creativity, is you need to suspend your disbelief for a minute and watch something. Because we all know that we're watching movies, we're watching television, and it's entertainment. And that's all it is. And in order to do so, you need to suspend that disbelief for a short period of time and be able to transport yourself into the world that's being created for you. Okay? And as long as nothing is done to break that suspension of disbelief, you're able to observe the show, you're able to watch these things and not lose sight of the entertainment value. And you're not you don't get transported out of the moment back into reality, right? That's antithesis to what is supposed to be out of entertainment, right? Entertainment is a lot like smoking crack. You do it in order to avoid reality in a way, and if your entertainment doesn't do that, then it has failed. And I watch these shows, and all of them seem to me like they've gone too far into surreality to really be entertainment anymore. They're almost comical how bad they are. Like the CSI Miami, like a cop who threatens to kill everyone he sees. Does nobody get that? I wonder, does nobody watching these shows get that this character that he's playing is crazy? He should be locked away, not in charge of a crime lab and a whole bunch of other people. He should be on heavy medication and shouldn't be allowed a gun. At one point, he picks up a machine gun, a fully automatic weapon, and starts shooting a place up. Here's my warrant. It's like a really bad Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's like cop out. But cop out was meant to be cop out. And I think people didn't get that about cop out, so they kind of lost interest in it, and I think some of the actors lost interest in it, and so you had, a really shitty movie. But the point of it was to be almost a parody of those buddy cop movies. Here's my warrant, I'll be back. You remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied. Those kind of lines are so cheesy, but this is what people are watching every week, is this guy do this. But when I ask somebody why they like CSI Miami, they don't say, oh, because it's campy and it's funny and all of that. They say because Horatio is the best. He loves the victims and the and he's so altruistic and all of that. I'm going, no, he's a violent sociopath bent on some sort of weird vigilante justice. And if that's what you want to watch, that's fine. But it's like people don't actually see that. They don't see what they're being shown. And that was the whole point to this super secret project, was to point out some of the things that you are being shown. All right, that you're being shown a pretty world that's far and away more attractive than the real world. Not just visually stunning as far as camera techniques and coloring and all of that, but as far as the people that are on it. It's also a world that's designed specifically to speak to a specific audience. All right, and that's people between 25 and 54, white people in that range. It's why the victims are white. Okay? It's so that people can identify with the victim, right? In these, of course, you're not supposed to identify with the perpetrator, so that's why you see a lot of the statistics skew back in the other direction. Now, if they skewed too far in the other direction, you would find yourself in a situation where people would complain, right? If all you saw was black people killing white people on television, there'd be hell to pay for that. That's why you're seeing a lot more, you're seeing a lot more white people than they probably would like to, doing these crimes, right? But you're also seeing a situation where, you create this almost violent, I don't know, Western thing from the 1800s, where everybody's a gunslinger. And you've got cops shooting people in record numbers, and cops being shot too in record numbers. There was one scene in one show where I saw, I think it was four cops died in a matter of seconds. Seconds, four cops were killed. And could you imagine in real life if four cops were shot at point blank range in the head, in one incident, the kind of national press coverage that would get? Or, one cop was blown up. Could you imagine the kind of press coverage in reality that an explosion that blows up a warehouse and a cop in the warehouse would get on a national level, and how frightened we would be if this was the real world? Right? Think about that. How many police shootings, but how many police are shot in these things? Not only that, how many you've got that many police dying, being shot, those kinds of explosions, all the rich people dying in these shows, and rich and famous people, right? Could you imagine what would happen if Snooki was snuffed out? That happened in one of these shows, is essentially a Snooki stand-in, or a whatever, like a Kardashian, right, was killed. Could you imagine what would happen to this place if a Kardashian was killed? It would be insanity, right? It would be national news. We would have days of mourning. The whole world would shake, and we would know the name of Horatio Caine. You know what I mean? We would know this guy's name, and he wouldn't be getting away with that. CNN or Fox News, depending on which political bent Horatio happened to be, would uncover the number of people he's killed. He went to a foreign country on a crusade of vengeance and killed like 30 people. That would probably make the news. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm guessing that would make the news. And that's why I can't suspend my disbelief any more than I already have to watch these shows, because the if you look at The Wire, not only were the statistics within the realm of probability, nothing that happened there would have made news outside of Baltimore, right? Nothing that happened on that show would have made news outside of, your evening news of, hey, another gangbanger killed, hey, another this done that. The most that would have happened would have been that one cop was shot during an undercover thing, and that may have made, sort of statewide news. But she didn't die, and so there was no real need to, put that out any further than what happened there. It was a lot easier for me to suspend my disbelief watching that show because nothing that happened was too egregious. Nothing was blowing up the shipyards. Nothing was four cops killed in a daring escape of a serial killer. Nothing was Snooki getting snuffed. I just like saying that, Snooki snuffed. And so none of it would have really been a massive news thing, that I watched on that one show, which was the complete opposite. It's one of the reasons why I couldn't use NCIS as a as a part of this survey, because not only do the cops kill far too many people, I saw them kill on average between 3 and 6 people per episode. Not only was that a big problem, but also the NCIS's had these massive conspiracies and terrorist attacks and all of this stuff. And while I get that, there's at least one explosion a week almost on, like I would say average one explosion a week on NCIS Los Angeles inside Los Angeles. And that's why I don't like the show, because you're going, you know what would happen if once a week we were hearing in the news that somebody was setting off a bomb in Los Angeles and killing people. It would be mass panic on the street. Nobody would live in Los Angeles. That's why I just can't, I can't fathom the situation. And that's why I can't watch television anymore. I can watch HBO, I suppose, from time to time, and Showtime and that kind of thing. But I can't watch what amounts to bad action movies on television once a week when you do these fantastic things that sometimes people wish they could do, or they see people doing these over the top routines, and they go, "That's a cool dude." And you're like, this just isn't. It's not possible. It doesn't have to be probable, but you'd like it to at least be possible. And that's where the creativity has lost me. I hope against hope that there's somebody coming along, somebody down the pipes here, who has a new way of looking at things, and that we're just on that precipice of new entertainment. Okay, so time for Where in the World is Allie? And in order to play this game, you need to know what a map looks like, and you need to be able to figure out my clues. All right. Here's the first clue. Allie is not here. Here is clue number two. Allie is not there. Here is clue number three. Allie is at her place. Here is clue number four. Allie was just too lazy to do the show this week. And here is your final clue. Allie's mad at me, I think. And so we weren't, no, I'm just kidding. Allie had too much stuff to do, and we weren't able to get together this week. We should be able to get together later this week to record for next week. If you have any thoughts on what we should talk about, feel free to leave a comment, keeping in mind you don't have to sign up or log in or anything like that to leave a comment. You can just do it anonymously. We don't need to know who you are. We're not going to track you down and beat the crap out of you for saying something bad. And, of course, we're not going to pay you for saying something good. If you give us an idea, you are giving us free and open license to use said idea on our show. You can also email us, onemonkeymedia@gmail.com to email me, or Allie the Monkey Tamer at gmail.com to email Allie. And you can give us your thoughts, ideas, criticisms, any of that sort of stuff. And make sure you go check out our Facebook. Just look for One Monkey Media on Facebook. Also, we have a Twitter, at One Monkey Media on Twitter, and you can see my tweets about crap. And also keep informed about what's going on the show, both on the podcast, also on the blog, and what's going on as far as the writing projects go. I'm going to try and put out a self-published book later, probably closer to the summer, in order to try and make a little bit of coin so that we can get a bit better of a setup here, get on iTunes, and really get things rolling. Also, definitely to get some training courses in for myself and Allie on how to do the show a little bit better. Part of next week's plan is, of course, to delve into the psyche that is Allie a little bit more. We've definitely gotten enough of my brain, both on the blog and here. So at this point, we're going to be looking at more about who she is and less about who I am, just to give you an idea of more of what you can expect. And as far as what to expect when you're expecting, is a little bit more of a halfway point between what you've heard so far and what you heard today. Today we did a little bit of social commentary and a little, well, we, me, did a little bit of social commentary, a little bit of trying to joke around about the situation. Hopefully it'll be a little bit funnier when there's a co-host, two minds working, always better than one, and you'll be able to sort of get an idea of what's going on. And that is, we're going to talk about crap. Whatever interests us, whatever comes up that week, whatever we're thinking about, that's what we're going to talk about. We're hopefully going to make it entertaining and sort of do that infotainment crap, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Thanks very much for listening this week. I am Chris Parker, the monkey from One Monkey Media, and absent, as almost never, is Allie. She'll be back next week. Thanks for your time and have a great week.
Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open.
All we want to do. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. Maybe we should compromise.